study there, and so pleased that you'd open your Bibles to Revelation, God, that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11, and we're going to enjoy the study there, and so pleased that you'd open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. We're going to begin reading with verse 10. Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, that is parkviewbible@gmail.com, and that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. I hope that you're enjoying the study in the book of Revelation, and now we begin as we read from the 10th verse, Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And that same hour was there a great earthquake. A tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, a third woe cometh quickly. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Let's begin with prayer after we've read this precious word. Father, we thank you that we can come together and enjoy this time. It's such a rejoicing time to open your precious word and study it. I hope that all the ears that are listening today, that they hear your word, that they hear it so carefully and so clearly, and they respond to their need. And their need, first of all, is to believe that you are their Savior. And if they come and believe, salvation can be theirs, and they don't have to face hell. They don't have to face your judgment, because you will save them upon them just believing you are the Savior of the world. You died on the cross of Calvary to save them, and that act of salvation, the act of the cross, dying on the cross, taking our sins away, being raised again the third day, victorious, wonderful. There's a lot of gods out there, Father, that we have, that we bow down to, but none of them have come from the grave alive as you, because none of them are truly Jehovah, truly God. Savior, we need to trust in you. Then we need to walk and enjoy the life with you. And so please, guide and lead us as we enjoy this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, as we find these two witnesses, and these two witnesses, we found that they were there. We'll back all the way up to verse 3 of this chapter 11. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And if any man will hurt them, verse 5, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. You know, there's no question that's Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindred and tongue and nation shall see their dead bodies lay dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Boy, they hate the presence of God. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and the enemies beheld them. I want to bring you up to date what had taken place. And that is what we have studied in the past. And now we begin as we continue through the study of this great book, this book of Revelation. After 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet. This terrified these people. You see, they went from rejoicing and having parties and giving gifts like you do at Christmas time back and forth. They went from that, and they moved over unto this trembling and fear. And we found that the triumph of the wicked, that was very short, wasn't it? It was 3.5 days long. Their testimony lasted for three and a half years, and when that time was finished, the beast came out, and we found the true heart of the people, because they rejoiced when these two witnesses were finally put away. And we believe that it's Elijah and Moses is going to be these two witnesses. Now, if you differ from that, that's just fine, because time will tell. We will see who those witnesses will be. And if we're in heaven, we're going to know. If you're here on earth and face this tribulation period, you're going to know. And so I would much rather be raptured and taken out before this tribulation period starts than I would ever to have to face this time. And so please that you come by faith to Jesus and be saved today. So as we look at all these things that are taking place, and now we come to the 12th verse, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Let's look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And we're going to start there. You know how we love to read the Word of God and study the Word of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, what that is the ascension of our Lord. And so let's just back up here just a little bit, and we can read just a little bit of this first chapter of Acts to kind of bring you up to date to where that statement came from. Starting with verse 3, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is talking about the resurrected Jesus. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for a promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. We know now it was 10 days. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go unto heaven. And returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And then they wait. 10 days later, the day of Pentecost, is when the Holy Spirit came down and empowered them. The Comforter had come. And so what a wonderful story that is. And so when we look at these verses of Scripture now, and now we see that in this 11th chapter, and we find, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And so our Lord Jesus was ascended up into the heavens, and now we find the over 2,000 years later, we're going to find that also these two witnesses, which you determine who it is, you know who I think it is, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And so what a day, what a witness that was when this took place. Jesus ascended, taken up into the clouds. Do you wonder why that these two witnesses then weren't allowed to remain here and continue to give witness and give testimony? They probably would have attempted to kill them again and again and again. The Lord said, this is the end of the witness. There is a point in time for you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never come by faith to him, but you've heard this gospel, you've heard it from here, you've heard it hopefully from your church, and you have maybe you heard it from your grandmother, or your grandfather, your dad, or your mom, or somebody has told you about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but you've just kind of let it alone. You didn't believe it. You just didn't want anything to do with it. Not now. Maybe later. There is a time when that calling will end. And it may have already passed today. I don't know. But I do know that the Scripture says today is the day of salvation. So if you hear the call today, you better trust today because you may not have tomorrow. He says, well, Larry, I've listened to this, you know, several times. I've heard you say that many times. And I can be saved whenever I want to. No, you can't. No, you need to trust in Jesus today. I have watched folks that have heard the word and heard the word and heard the word, and they continue to reject it and reject it and reject it. And one day, as these two witnesses leave, one day that call ends. Right here with these two witnesses leaving. What a sad, sad thing. They are leaving. It's just very similar to the church being raptured. And so please come to Jesus today. And as we continue now through these verses of Scripture, we see what takes place after these witnesses leave. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. You want to mock these witnesses? You want to rejoice over these death of these witnesses, as their body lays there and deteriorates. You want to praise and exchange gifts and have a big party over that? You better repent. You better weep and cry over your sin, and you better repent and come to Jesus Christ. Here's what happens when they left. It says, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. They saw them leave. And that same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. This is the city of Jerusalem. And in the earthquake were slain 7,000 men. 7,000 men. Not talking about children and women, just men. So we're talking somewhere 10,000, 15,000 died. Because when it says the men, we have that reference many other times, and that's many more than this. And the remnant were affrighted, and they gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, did they get saved? We're not sure. I would say not, because I think they have passed that time. Now, well, they gave glory to him. It's one thing to praise God for the rain. It's one thing to praise God for this crop that we're bringing in. It's one thing to praise him for something that that you think he's given you. And it's another to repent and turn to Jesus for salvation. And then we go on here to the 14th verse. And the second woe is past, and behold, a third woe cometh quickly. This happened immediately. A tenth of Jerusalem was leveled, and 7,000 men died. This happened right away. You know, men spend millions of dollars, countries spend millions and billions of dollars trying to create the nuclear bomb so that they have power and strength. God speaks. He does not need anything like that. People have decided that that's how this world is going to be annihilated through that. No, God is going to come at the end of this tribulation period during the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to speak, and the evil, the wicked, are going to die right there. And he's going to call in all the vultures and the eagles and all the birds of prey, and they're going to all come, and they're going to feast upon kings and princesses and presidents and all folks that have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so please understand the power and the strength of our God, and do not question it in any way. We continue now in the 15th verse. And in the 14th, the second woe is past. Remember, there's three woes. First woe, the second woe, and now the third woe come quickly. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This continuing trumpet judgment, the continuing of the trumpet judgment. The church is safe with Jesus in the air. We are there and we're safe. Wonderful. We have a grandstand seat in heaven. And at this time, Jesus has removed the seals from the seven sealed book that contains the redemption terms of the earth. These are the terms of redemption. This is how he's redeeming the earth. Cleaning the evil, taking care of it, redeeming it. All creation is now to be delivered from the curse. God's dealings with the earth's citizens is almost over, and righteousness is about to take over on the earth. That is a wonderful statement. God heard great voices. The announcement was that the kingdoms of this world had become the kingdoms of God. Righteousness has come. The man and the devil have been in power for 6,000 years. Cursed man and the devil have been in power for 6,000 years. But, according to Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Luke 1:32 and Isaiah 9:6-7, we find that he is about to take his seat on his throne. And let's look at those wonderful verses. And we'll begin with the Old Testament today. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end unto the throne of David, unto his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, or the jealousy of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now let's look to Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1, verse 32. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful promise that we have. And it starts God's plan from the beginning. And when our Savior came here to this earth, and he came to die. That's the only way he could save us. That's God the Father's plan. And the Son followed through this. He is about, Jesus, this one born of a woman, is about to take his place at the throne. What a wonderful picture and promise. Once again, verse 15, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat there before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. They cried out. These 24 elders fell on their faces and worshiped God. Who are the 24 elders? If you'll remember that, that's the church. The 24 elders, the church, they cried out, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Jesus came first to this earth as a babe in a manger, a tender lamb. Jesus is coming the second time in the revelation in great power, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. The wrath of God, the judgment of God is going to come and be poured out upon you. And that's what's to come. Psalms 1, verses 3 through 6. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's what's to come. Psalms 37, verses 9 through 18. We're going to turn to that. We should have turned to Psalms 1, 3 through 6 that we just read. And please that you mark that and read that. Psalms 37, 9 through 18. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, gnasheth upon them with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that day, that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of the upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Contrary to the wicked, contrary to you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your days are numbered. You're numbered, and all your efforts and all your wealth will go away. It is going to go away. But for the Christian, for the born-again believer, what we have and we have stored up for the Lord in things that we do that is spiritual, that go from here, you know, you've got two choices. You can do things that are pleasing unto God, which are spiritual, bringing people to Jesus, caring, being kind, and doing the things that the Lord desires us to do, or you can be earthly and work and work and work to gain things here upon earth, only to have them taken away at the end times. These remaining chapters of Revelation record the closing time of the great tribulation. There were many mighty wonders when God delivered Israel out of the land of Egypt and led them on into the promised land. All the wonders, all these miracles that have been performed in all of time will not compare to what's to come after the sounding of the seventh trumpet. In Revelation chapter 5, Jesus took the seven sealed book from the hand of him that sitteth on the throne. Jesus was found worthy to open the book. Jesus took the book, he took it, and began to remove the seals. This seventh trumpet is found under the last of the seals. From this moment, Jesus took the book. At this moment, Jesus took the book, and we are awaiting the open until this moment when it is unfolded, opened the last time. All along the way, we have seen the unfolding of these judgments. But when the seventh trumpet sounds, everything in heaven and all of creation breaks out with a thundering praise and shout. Great voices, the scripture tells us. Verse 11 here, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven. This is the 15th verse of chapter 11 that we're in here in Revelation. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. It's about over. And this Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God, which art, which wast, which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." What wonderful words we have here. Great voices. These 24 elders fell upon their faces. We know again in chapter 5, the elders, they at that time fell down and gave thanks and praises. Here they humble themselves in a much greater degree. They are on their faces, the scripture says. My dear friend, we always run out of time. My question is, what are you going to do about Jesus?